Hey, Life Church Livonia, good morning and welcome. If this is your first time here and we haven't met, my name is Alex and I'm one of the pastors on staff here at Life Church Livonia, and it's an exciting day today. It's a day we're celebrating Baptism Sunday. We're going to be streaming the actual baptisms just on our Facebook with a phone so that folks who are far away can see that happening. We're not there yet in the service, so no need to check out just yet. And we're going to have a little bit of a shorter sermon today in order to make time for those incredible baptisms. But if this is your first time here, I want you to know we've been in a series over the last couple weeks called Out of the Wilderness. And this series is on the book of Joshua, but we're going to be taking a pause from that series today just to talk about baptisms. We're going to be taking another pause from that series on Mother's Day. And then we'll continue with it as normal next week and in the following weeks outside of those two dates. Well, again, if this is your first time, our vision here at Life Church Livonia is real people, real God, real life. We want to be real and authentic about the ups and downs of real life as we journey with our real God into life and life to the full in Jesus. That's what we're after here at Life Church Livonia, that we would be an authentic community doing life together, following and loving God with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength. Today, my hope for us as we celebrate the fulfillment, the fruit of that vision in baptism, is really just to answer two questions. Simply, what is baptism and why do we do it? So to help us in that understanding, I've got a little pop quiz for us. Some of you with test anxiety, your heart just jumped about 30 beats per minute, and that's okay. This test isn't graded yet. I'm just kidding. So you can shout out your answers or put them in the chat if you're following us online today. And my first question in the understanding baptism pop quiz is simply this: how many different teams are represented in this picture? If you said three, ding, 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 you are right. Three teams are represented in this picture. Second question: what branch of the armed forces do these soldiers belong to? If you said the Coast Guard, you are right. And if you said the Navy, better luck next time. This is in fact the Coast Guard. Next question: how many people in this picture are married? If you answered six, you are correct. If you answered 12, you're wrong. The trick here, I wanted to trick you in this one. I'm just going to confess. That one with the four hands, fist style, only two people, okay? Not four people. Last question: what country are these gentlemen from? That's right, they're Scottish. It's not a dress, it's a kilt. A little Jim Carrey for you, no big deal. Grinch Stole Christmas, one of my all-time faves. In all these cases, you're like, what does this have to do with baptism? In all these cases, we can tell what kinds of commitments these people have, either to places or to cultures or to other people, because of the symbols they wear on the outside of their bodies. We can tell which country the athletes are from because of their jerseys. We can tell which branch of the military someone has committed their life to because of their uniform. We can tell that someone's committed their life to another person because of a wedding ring. And we can tell that these brogish Scottish boys are from Scotland because of their distinctive cultural attire. These are all outward signs of inward realities, which is kind of what we mean in the church when we use the word sacrament. A sacrament is simply a physical embodiment of a spiritual reality. It's something we do on the outside to participate in and show something we believe on the inside. Marriage, for example, is a sacrament where we physically embody God's love and depth of love for the world. Singleness is a sacrament where we embody God's breadth of love for the world. Communion is a sacrament where we are physically participate in the death of Jesus on the cross. And baptism is a sacrament where we physically participate in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. But what does that mean exactly? Well, that brings us to our two questions today. What is baptism and why do we do it? So first question I want to start with: what is baptism? Scripturally speaking, we don't really see baptism happen in the Bible until the New Testament. The first mention of it is in Matthew chapter 3, and this is what it says. John's clothes were made of camel hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the tree, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Whoa, pretty intense. So John is baptizing Jewish people in the Jordan River, and for the sake of confession and repentance for their sins. As he's doing this, religious teachers come by to see what's up. And John basically yells at them, and he insults them and calls them a brood of vipers who are in danger of being cut off and burned in the fire. That's a pretty charged response for a group of people just coming to see him baptize people. And the most wild part about this exchange, though, is the most offensive part of what's happening here isn't even what John says to the Pharisees. The most offensive thing happening here is the baptisms themselves. Why is that? Well, the reason we don't see baptism in the Old Testament was because it started in the time between the Old and New Testaments, which we call the intertestamental period. I know, that's a big word, okay? But here's a graphic to help you understand. Basically, the Old Testament covers about 1,500 years of human history. And because of Israel's sin, God prophesies a 400-year period of silence, which happens and then ends with Jesus. The New Testament begins with the birth of Jesus and covers about 90 years of human history, from about the birth of Jesus to close to the death of John, the final apostle. So some background, in the beginning of the Old Testament, the people of Israel promised God that if he blessed them and caused them to flourish, they would be his people and obey his commands, representing his love, representing his mercy, representing his justice, representing his way of life to the whole world. God makes a covenant with them and chooses them as his nation, his representatives to the world. However, his condition in this covenant is that if they don't keep his laws, he will exile them from the land of Israel he promised to give them, because they would be misrepresenting him to the world. And God is not okay with being misrepresented to the lost people who need him. The people of Israel agree to this, and they walk in that promise for just a short period of time. And then for hundreds of years after that, they don't keep their promise to God. God is patient with them and sends them prophet after prophet, but eventually the Old Testament ends with Israel being exiled from the promised land and scattered amongst the other nations of the world. While they're living in these other nations, for example, Babylon or Persia or Greece or Assyria, some of the people of Israel continue to practice their faith. And as they live God's way, and in a way that's so countercultural to the things happening around them, the people who are there begin to notice. And they go, wait a second. I think that what you're doing, that's actually more in line with the truth than what I'm doing. I think the way you believe, the way that you worship, the way you behave, the way you live, that there's something about this that's real and true, and the God I'm worshiping is false and your God is the real God. And so these folks who decide they want to convert to Judaism were called proselytes, which is why you may have heard evangelism called proselytizing. As you know, Judaism, though, is not just a religion, it's a culture, it's an ethnic group. So when someone wanted to convert to Judaism, they weren't just changing belief systems, they were changing national allegiances and cultures. And this was a process that ended in baptism. So as people went under the water, they were Syrian, they were Greek, they were Babylonian, and as they came up out of the water, all that old identity washed away and stayed under the water, and they came up as one of the people of God with the primary identity that said, I'm one of God's people, I'm his child, and I belong to his family. So at the beginning of the New Testament, when John the Baptist breaks on the scene baptizing Jews, it's scandalous because he is saying, you Jewish people have fallen so far from what it means to be the people of God, you need to be baptized back into your own religion. The baptism was an outward symbol of the inner transformation of repentance that people were experiencing, and that's still true today. In the same way, when we go under the water, our Americanness, our gender, Every other identity goes under the water, and when we come up, we rise up as part of the people of God. And that identity is the umbrella that covers all others. Our national allegiance switches from simply being an American to being a member of a citizen of heaven. And that's what's happening in baptism. That's what baptism is. It's a symbolic act that represents a death to an old self and a rising to a new self who is defined first and foremost by God. So why do we get baptized? Well, Matthew continues just after John the Baptist in his gospel with this. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him, I am well pleased." Isn't that interesting? Jesus is getting baptized too. But Jesus isn't getting baptized to signify a new beginning for himself personally. Jesus is getting baptized to signify a new beginning for all of humanity's relationship with God. As Romans says, he's like a second Adam, Adam and Eve from the beginning of the Bible. He's the firstborn of a new kind of human being. Up to this point, human relationship with God had been capped and defined by sin. But when Jesus died on the cross, he put our sins to death, forgiving us for everything we've ever done against God. And when he rose from the dead, he rose to give us access to a new life, free from sin and united with God through him. Our mission here at Life Church Livonia is no grow go. And we fulfill our mission by helping people come to know Jesus, to grow into maturity and relationship with him and his people, and to go and serve the world, making disciples. When I got baptized, it was a step in my growth journey with Jesus. And the folks getting baptized here today are taking a growth step of their own. Now, No Grow Go is our mission not because it rhymes, which is a nice thing, but because it's what Jesus says is the mission of all of his followers. At the end of the book of Matthew, in the beginning of the book of Acts, Jesus gives his final command to his disciples before he ascends into heaven, and this is what the Bible says. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, which is no. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." That's go. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. That's grow. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. This is called the Great Commission. And at Life Church Livonia, Jesus' last command is our first priority. In the Great Commission, Jesus commands the disciples to baptize new disciples in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus was baptized to signify the start of a new kind of life with God for all humanity. And when we get baptized, we follow Jesus and signifying a new life for us in Christ. So firstly, we get baptized to obey Jesus. That's the biggest why. But one of the other whys is we try to mark the moment. For example, our wedding day, my wedding day, that's not the day I fell in love with Amber, but it was the day that we made space and time to publicly commit and confess our love for each other, committing our lives to each other before our community and before our God. And today is similar. Today is not the day these folks decided to follow Jesus, but it is the day that they've set aside to make their love and commitment to Jesus known before God and before people, publicly committing to be his disciple. This kind of commitment does not replace culture or gender or other identifiers, but it is a submitting of all of those things to the identity that I belong to Jesus. So we're now gonna witness two people get baptized, Katrina and Raven, and we're gonna watch a video testimony from each of them, and then we're gonna baptize them After they get out of the water in person, we're going to pray over them. And so after we play these two testimony videos, that would be a really great time to skip over to Facebook and see if we're streaming this yet. But before we do, I want us to have not just watch them make commitments to Jesus, but as their Christian community, we want to make some commitments to them. So I'm going to read some prompts, and simply at home or in the chat, all I want you to do is respond with, "We do." So these are our commitments to Christina and Raven. Life Church Livonia, do you commit to walking with these fellow believers to support them in this new life in Christ? If so, say we do. Do you promise to pray for them and support them by embodying what it means to be a Christian community? If so, say we do. Do you promise to contribute to their discipleship, fulfilling the Great Commission, and in so doing, loving Jesus by obeying His word? If so, say we do. With that, we're going to watch their testimony videos.
I'm Raven Maniachi, and I'm ready to get baptized. I grew up in church, then I went to Life Kids, and then I got dedicated when I was a baby. I learned about Jesus in my picture Bible, that God and Jesus are trying to teach us that you have to make wise choices. I wanted to follow Jesus to be his friend, also so then he can help me persevere through the things, the hard things through in the past. Jesus is helping me learn the good choices from the bad. So to make wiser choices in the future. I want to get baptized so then I can be one of Jesus's followers, but also God and Jesus can also help me make tough decisions. Sometimes it's hard to find friends when I'm lonely, so when I get baptized, I can be Jesus' friend forever. I'm Raven Maniachi, and I'm ready to get baptized.
So the ways that I became into Christ again was because I felt an emptiness, and just deep down in my soul, there was an emptiness there. Couldn't figure out what it was or why it was there, but I went through a depression and all that, and I was like, there's something missing. I tried different churches. And then that's what came to this church I found. I love it here. I felt very down on myself, I guess is the best word to use. I felt like I wasn't good enough for anybody or anything. Even with family, I felt like when I went to family, I was being judged a lot. And I knew that wasn't me. So it broke me down. And I was like, okay, I need to do something here. And I knew the best thing to do was find that church again. So I went through a big depression. I stayed away from family and friends. I limited communication. I just could not figure out what I was doing. I would go to work, come home, nap, go do karaoke, come home, sleep, and then go right back to the whole thing all over again. I found Life Church Livonia through my friend Bobby. She goes to the church. We work together in our actual job. One day at lunch, we just were talking about it, and she mentioned the Life Church Livonia, and I was like, you know, I'm going to try it, and I did, and now I fell in love with the church. So I renewed my relationship with Jesus when I came to the second or third service. Just something stirred up inside of me the first couple, and all of a sudden I was like, you know what, let me go again. And then I found out about the kids as well, and I love working with kids, so I felt like I just felt like home after that. A lot has been changing in my life. Since then, I've came to know Jesus a lot. He speaks to me, I know, through like other people. There was a time I was at the store and I felt down on myself and I was like in my mindset, and all of a sudden this elderly gentleman came up to me and just started talking to me, and it was almost like my grandpa who passed away was talking to me through him and as well as Jesus, and it was just like, it made me just kind of wake up again and go, what am I doing? I gotta stay out of that mindset and keep going. The emptiness has been changing through Jesus a lot. Like at home, I noticed myself actually getting back into the Bible Through the Bible app, I've been reading it a lot, taking some time to just focus on that and just become one with God and pray. The changes I noticed with reading the Bible or just even being closer to Christ is the mood changes. I haven't been as like tired or sleepy. I've been kind of more energetic, happiness, smiling more. I noticed the change in everything with family. I've been getting closer to family, making time to actually go visit family, especially friends, making more time to do things with friends, going and playing cards at their house, and just spending more time with everybody that I need to spend time with because life is short. I feel like God is teaching me now that I need to stay faithful to Him as well as being true to myself. Instead of letting others do things for me or tell me what I need to do, I just need to pursue on what I want to do. I would like people to understand when I get baptized, I'm doing it for myself to kind of clean what I've had in the past and what I've been through in the past and showing that I'm ready to move forward. I'm Christina Peters and I'm ready to get baptized.
It is such a joy to see these two take this step of growth in Christ. And I just wonder this morning as we close, where are you in that no grow go process? Have you come to know Jesus yet as your Lord and your Savior? If you've come to know Jesus, are you growing in your depth of love for Him and for people? Are you becoming more mature in your relationship with Him and with His church that He calls His bride? And do you know what your spiritual gifts are? Are you going? Are you making other disciples and not just sitting on the bench watching other Christians be in the game? But have you discovered your God-given purpose? You were not just saved from sin. You were saved for something that matters. If you have a pulse, you have a purpose. And God has purposed your life for such a time as this. He has empowered you with spiritual gifts and with a mission in this world to help Him heal and change this world. In the beginning of the Bible, God created the world, and now He is recreating it into a new kind of place, a place that is free from sin and a place that is defined by His righteousness and goodness, where peace and truth will reign. And you have a role to play in it, and it's not an accident that you're here today. Where are you in that process? Did their testimony stir something in you? Is there something you need to confess or let go of or relinquish? Is there somebody you need to love or pray that you would love who's an enemy of sorts? Do you need to get in the game and get off the bench? Do you need to heal from some kind of cynicism or resentment? Do you need to forgive somebody who's hurt you? Do you need to confess a sin? Where are you at today? Are there things that God might be calling you to wash away in the baptism waters today? Maybe immaturities, maybe bitterness, maybe unforgiveness or doubt. Wherever you're at, I want you to know God loves you. He came from heaven to earth to be close to you. And He gave up His life on the cross for you in Christ so that you might be made close to Him. Jesus wants to know you, and He wants you to know Him, and He wants to fulfill you in the deepest areas of your soul. All the things we long for, that we look for fulfillment in that leave us empty. Sex, drugs, alcohol, work, money, activity, fun, all these things are not inherently evil in themselves, but they do not satisfy the human heart. Only God can do that. And if you're here today and you're looking for something, I promise what you're looking for is Jesus. And I just want to invite you right now. Maybe if you haven't come to know Christ before, or maybe you are a follower of Jesus, but you're holding something, you're holding on to something and you just won't let it go to Him. I want you to pray with me right now. And I just want to encourage you to release control and say, okay, Lord, I'm yours. Father, Lord, I need to be washed clean. I need to be made new. I need a fresh start. Lord, I ask that you forgive me. Forgive me for doing life my own way. Forgive me for looking at all these other things to satisfy and fulfill me. Forgive me for looking for my comfort, my peace, my hope, my security in all the wrong places. God, I come to you now and I just ask that you would be on the throne of my heart, that you would be the center of my life, Lord, that you and you alone would be the Lord of my life. I confess that I need you. I believe you rose from the dead for me. I believe you died on the cross for me, and I want to live a new life in all of its fullness. And I pray that you would give that to me now by your Holy Spirit. And I pray all these things in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. If you just prayed with me, please, please, please fill out that digital connection card. The digital bulletin link is in this video description. We want to walk alongside you. Life is a group project, and you were not made to do it alone. Please join us again next week as we continue our Out of the Wilderness series, as we talk about how to discern through deception.